True, isn't it? We need to always be looking outward, not inward, and keep our eyes out for people who need the gospel, and to shine that light, amen? And to be kind and gracious to those around us. Honestly, to walk in the steps of Jesus, amen. To mimic Him, to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 37 this morning. We'll be preaching along our theme, Trust in Him. Trust in Him. And here we have a psalm by King David, the second king of Israel. He wrote this 3,000 years ago. And yet, it's so applicable to today. Very relevant for us today. In this psalm, David speaks about troubling times. And he faced troubling times. King David, again, we think about today, the age which we live in. I was talking with someone this week about school starting back up and everybody getting back to the normal routine. But that normal routine is super, super busy for most. It's already, football games, volleyball games. It's practices here and practices there. One mom and dad have 3 or 4 kids, and they're taking them to various practices all over. Work and jobs and mortgages and interest rates and just on and on and on, health and financial, whatever you want to say. And it doesn't take much for us to begin to get our eyes on our circumstances. And as David, sometimes we get our eyes on our enemies, or at least eyes on the ungodly. And we say, well, why does the ungodly, why are they prospering and I'm not? And David answers that question here in this psalm. Look at Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I understand now you could pronounce it herb instead of herb. I was talking to my college English teacher here recently, and she said that it's actually, you could pronounce it either way now. And I want to just thank the Lord for that. Because I grew up in the country, and we always pronounced it herb because that has an H on it. And any normal person would say that's pronounced herb and not herb. It has an H on it. I feel better about the whole thing. Let's go back to verse 2. Actually, go back to verse 1 because I really have got us in the wrong direction. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. It'll be our text this morning. Let me say it again. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 4, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait, those who trust upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Trust in the Lord, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful promise found in your word. And Lord, may each of us again contemplate, think about you, and that we ought to trust in you. Lord, help us to wait on you. Help us to put our confidence in you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. David deals with the problem, why do the wicked prosper and the godly suffer? If you look back in the Old Testament to the book of Job, you see that it's handled in the book of Job. Job, the Bible says, was a righteous man who who forsook evil and eschewed evil and did good. He was a complete man. He was a perfect man. And yet the devil appeared before God one day, and as, by the way, the devil's accountable to God too. Amen? Hello? Devil's accountable to God. So devil appears before God, and God looks down and says, Satan, don't you see my servant Job, how he serves me, how he walks with me? And Satan says to God, he only does that because you protect him. If you'll remove the protection, Job will curse you. I'm just summarizing now, okay? And so God did. God removed the protective hedge around Job, and God allowed, through the devices of Satan, for Job to lose everything. Lost his family, lost his 10 kids, lost his wealth, and then eventually lost his health. Even his wife said to him, Job, won't you just curse God and die? And old Job said, no. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, the Bible says, he forsook not God. God was testing Job. And one of the reasons why we suffer is about testing in our life. Think about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, God said to Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice. And it's amazing to me in Genesis 22 that Abraham doesn't even blink. He loads Isaac up, who would have been in his early 20s, late teens. I mean, he was a grown man. Abraham's 100, you know. And they head towards, and there they get to the mountains of Moriah. And anyway, and therefore, he takes Isaac up there on the mountain, and God tests Abraham. He tests him. Why was Abraham able to take his son on that journey, three-day journey, to that mountain? Because he trusted God. Hebrews chapter 11, the New Testament, tells us Abraham believed, he trusted God, that if he were to slay his son, that God would have to raise him from the dead, because Isaac was the promised child with whom the Messiah would one day come. Abraham believed that promise, in fact, in Genesis chapter 12, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted God, and he trusted in the promise that one day through him, through Isaac, the Messiah would come. And so he knew that if he killed Isaac, that God would have to raise him from the dead. You say, well, God doesn't have to do anything. Yes, he puts his own perimeters in place. God is the one, only God can limit himself, but he has limited himself. Because he will not ever lie. Amen. And he will always keep his promises. Amen. If he doesn't, he's not God. So think about it for a moment. There's Job, who went through a time of testing. Abraham went through a time of testing. In fact, the New Testament in Hebrews uses the word test, that Abraham was tested there in Genesis chapter 22. See, tests are there to help our faith grow. Tests are there to help us to go forward in our Christian life. You know, the steps that we climb on to grow in our spiritual life. Right? You guys are asleep this morning. I'm trying. I even looked up the psalm book. I was going to sing, like, I'm so happy and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. But tests are there. Tests are important. And you would think about in school, you took tests to help you, again, to memorize the knowledge and to grow in that subject, in the knowledge of that subject. Tests are important. Tests are part of life. Then there's times in which we are corrected by God. So there's tests that are allowed by God. There's correction that God gives us. In fact, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. If you're a child of God and you're a born-again Christian, you're a daughter of the Lord, you're a man, you're a child of God. And therefore, when you do wrong, he corrects you. He corrects you, just like we correct our children, or should correct our children. We have some today who don't do that. They should learn to correct their children. Children need to be corrected. They need boundaries. And God does so to us. He corrects us because he loves us. We correct our children not because we were bigger than them, because we're the bully. We do so to train them, because we love them. And then the third reason why we suffer and go through detours and all these things is for, sometimes for God's glory, simply for God to get the glory. They walked by a man who was lame, and they said, the disciples said to Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither one, but for my glory, for my glory." Sometimes your neighbor needs to see your witness. Sometimes your coworker needs to see your testimony. You need to see you go through a few things and for them to go, "Boy, he sure reacted differently than most people. Boy, she sure reacted differently than most people." By the way, Christians ought to react to adversity different than the world reacts. Because we do trust God. We trust God knowing that either that's a test, knowing that it's either it's a correction and I need to see if there's sin in my life, or if maybe it's for God's glory. Maybe I won't even know until I get to heaven as to why this happened to me. But it is there for a reason. God always has our best interests in mind. Just as you have your children's best interests in mind when you correct them or you test them. By the way, parents ought to get back to testing their kids. There ought to be some work ethic. There ought to be some chores to do. There ought to be some things that they do to help mold and shape them. Amen. Yeah, appreciate that. David said, "Forget about the wicked. Oh, you may look over the fence and see that the grass is greener over there and maybe yours is withered up." But he said, what? "Their grass will soon be cut off." They live in Texas. It's going to dry up. It's going to blow away unless you water the thing to death. No. David said, the wicked will be cut off. Psalm again, 37, verses 1 and 2. They should be cut off, cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But we, verse 3, should trust in the Lord. I think about, again, David, King David, as he was running from Saul. The first king of Israel, King Saul, was running after David to kill him. David, who had been anointed king by the high priest Samuel, was being chased by King David. What does it mean in the Old Testament when you were anointed by the high priest? That means you're going to be king. God chose David. God promised David that he would be king one day. What got David through all those terrible adversity that he went through with his life being challenged and chased after? The promise. The promise that he one day would sit on the throne. Amen. Because whatever God promises, he keeps. Right. David was seemingly forsaken, but listen closely, seemingly forsaken. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. We've been promised, by the way, we've been promised eternal life. He's going to keep his promise. We've been promised that he would never forsake us. He keeps his promise. I'm thankful he took care of David. If you go back and look, all throughout that adversity that David went through, God took care of him. God takes care of us. David one day did sit upon his enemy's throne. And he dwelt in the land. Psalm 37, look back with me. Look at verse 40. "And the Lord shall help them." Talking about the righteous. "And deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked. And save them. Because what? They trust in him." I'm thankful for that wonderful promise. Amen. God's promised us as we trust him that he will take care of us. He will save us. He will deliver us. Trust in the Lord. That's the first point, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. You say, well, we've been talking about this for months now. Well, yeah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We ought to trust him. In the Old Testament, again, it was primarily talking about the physical, that God was going to save them physically, keep them from their enemies and keep them from physical harm. And the New Testament principle is God will keep us. He will save us. If we trust him, he will give us spiritual life. He will give us spiritual blessings. Not that he won't take care of us physically as well, because those promises are there too. But the spiritual is far more important than the physical.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Far more important. We ought to trust him for salvation. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, we have Paul and Silas in the prison there in Philippi, the city of Philippi. About midnight, they began to sing some hymns. Then the jailhouse rocked. I'm not going to go into that one. But God caused an earthquake. The jail's doors came open. Paul and Silas walked out. The jailer was about to kill himself because he knew if his prisoners escaped, he's going to die anyway. Paul said, no, 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 don't do that. And the Bible says that the jailer asked to him, what must I do to inherit or have eternal life? And Paul's answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That word believe is a synonym for the word trust. Trust in the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Now it's important that he said trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Lord means boss, means creator, it means sustainer. He's the great I am. Then the word Jesus, name Jesus means savior. But that last one, that's a humdinger. Because it means Messiah.
Right.
And so here is one who is saying, Paul's saying to him now, if you will trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the boss, the creator, the one who created everything, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the long-promised one, the one that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There's a lot there that if you look at it, he's telling him to put his trust in the Messiah, that he had to believe that Jesus Christ was indeed the promised Messiah. The Bible says he believed. Do you believe this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? The best decision you'll ever make is to put your trust in him. Again, so many people put their trust for eternal life. They put their trust in their upbringing or their heritage. Or they put their trust in their good works, that I try to be a good person. When I get to heaven and I sit before the pearly gate and there's, you know, Paul there or there's Peter there, and they're going to let me into heaven because I've been a good person. Well, being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. In fact, Isaiah said, all my righteousness are as filthy rags. Some put their trust in a church membership. Some put their trust in baptism. I got sprinkled as a kid or poured on as a kid, or I went into a baptistry and got baptized. Baptizing doesn't save you.
That's right.
Better not put your trust in getting wet. No. Salvation from the penalty of sin. By the way, the penalty of sin, according to Revelation, is death and hell. And the remedy, the solution for that penalty, for forgiveness, is found in putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he lived, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Have you put your trust in him? That's the starting point. If we're going to trust the Lord, we've got to put our trust in him for our eternal life. Put our confidence in him. There's no doubt. When you trust in someone, you mean you're saying, there's no doubt he will come through for me. I trust him. I believe him. Believer this morning, Christian, child of God, we ought to trust him in everything.
Amen.
Everything, every part of our life, we should put our trust in the Lord for those things. Again, our theme verse for the year, he shall direct thy paths. You put your trust in him, he'll direct your paths. He'll guide you. We've already studied Proverbs 28, verse 25. It says, those who trust the Lord shall be made fat. Let me show this side. Proverbs, go look it up. No, it simply means God's going to bless you. You trust the Lord, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll provide for you. You put your confidence in Him and not yourself. Put your confidence in Him. He will provide for you. Trusting in Him. Trust the Lord, and it brings peace. Our confidence in Him and our dependence upon Him brings peace to our life. Brings contentment to our life. And then that way, no matter the problem that comes to my life, and no matter the challenge, and no matter the adversity that comes to my life, I will not worry, but I'll be content. Now, the old flesh, it battles against that. And when adversity comes to my life, I automatically, that flesh kicks in, and I want to worry, or I want to question, or whatever the case is. But then I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. By the way, he's big inside of me. I know He's there. I felt His presence many, many times. And I'm so thankful that when I do go through adversity, He's there to remind me, hey,
amen.
Trust the Lord. But no. Trust the Lord. He's got your best interests in mind. He knows what you're going through. He knows the adversity you're facing. He knows the health problem. He knows the relational problem. He knows the financial stress. He knows the mortgage is due. He knows all those things. Put your trust in Him. The Holy Spirit there knocking at your heart's door. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord that He is in control. So much more that I could say, but we'll move on. It says, trust the Lord in what? Do good. And do good. We've studied this verse before, and I always want to go back to Galatians. Galatians, and where the Bible says there in chapter 6, do good. When you've had opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. In other words, the results of trust is obedience. It's service to God and service to others. It's following the Lord. It's actively being obedient to the Lord. It's following in the steps of Jesus. It's walking with Him. It's doing good. Micah 6:8. We ought to what? Do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly. How do we please God? Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with our God. We ought to do good. Again, getting to work and helping and serving others helps us not to worry. We always use that cliche, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, or idle feet. I'm telling you, you get to work serving others, and you'll be surprised what happens to your worrying. You'll be surprised what happens to your heart. There's great comfort found in serving the Lord in whatever capacity that is, whether it's just going to your next door neighbor and you know, giving them a chocolate pie, I don't know. Being kind to the person at the grocery store, you know, helping somebody, whatever it may be, but serving others brings joy. That is absolutely a fact. You want to experience true joy? Serve others. Do for others. Trust the Lord and do for others. Do good. Do good. And what does it say? What's the promise? So shalt thou dwell in the land. Look at verse 3 again. And so shalt thou dwell in the land. Now this is talking about Canaan land, the physical land, the land that was promised to the Jews, a land that was given to them. I love, and we don't have time to go back and look at the various verses where it says, the Lord said to the Jewish nation, to Moses and them, the land that I will give to you. The land that I will give to you, give to you, give to you, over and over and over and over and over. It says give to you. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to do something to get it. God said, I'm going to give it to you. He said, I will go in. I will fight your battles. I will fight the Canaanites. I will fight the Hittites and all the other Ite people that are there. I will fight for you. It's a picture of our Christian life. By the way, I don't earn salvation, but I also don't have to earn. I don't have to earn. Listen to this now. This is a hard one. I don't have to earn joyful life. It's given to me. I don't have to perform certain deeds or perform certain things in order for that promise to kick in, that if I walk with God and trust Him, that He will give me the land. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, Hebrews chapter, you can go read Hebrews chapter 4. And again, for lack of time, we don't have time, but go home. It's your homework. Go home and read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In verse 9, Paul says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." In chapter 4 of Hebrews, he describes how God had promised the land of Canaan to Israel, and how God has, and then secondly, how God has promised us a land of rest. That there is a rest for His people. And in that particular case, he's really not talking about heaven. He's talking about rest here on earth. That you as a Christian, listen to this now, you as a Christian, you as a child of God, are promised rest. Do you know you can live daily in rest? I'm talking not about physical sleep. I'm talking about where you lay your head down at night and you can go to sleep without worrying, without fretting. Hello?
Yeah.
That's a promise given to you. That's a promise given to me that you can have. Jesus said, "I came to give life and to give life more abundant." And of course he's talking about heaven, but primarily there he's talking about that abundant life we can have here and now. Listen, the benefits of salvation are not just eternal life in heaven. The benefits of salvation are here now.
Amen.
That we as Christians can experience rest. Our soul, our spirit can rest. We can live in that mode. We do not have to live in this fretting in life that most people live.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about my next paycheck. I don't have to worry about the next doctor's test. And I've had a few of those. And the paycheck thing too. I don't have to worry about my child and this relational issue and that relational issue, my marriage, whatever it is. I don't have to fret and worry about those things if I put my trust in the Lord. And walk with Him. It's such a great illustration, that Old Testament Canaan land. I don't have time to develop it this morning, but man, why did the children of Israel not cross over into the promised land? The Bible says because of lack of faith, a lack of trust in the Lord. They did not get to live in the land of rest because they didn't put their confidence in the Lord. And what's the last of the verse says? "And so shalt thou be fed." Look there with me. "And verily, verily shalt thou be fed." I'm thankful that God takes care of us. I do believe there are conditions placed upon blessings, and that is obedience. More than obedience, it's walking with the Lord. I am telling you, we as Christians need to walk with the Lord every day.
Amen.
As we trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But our performance doesn't necessarily kick in the promise. It's our relationship with Him. It's spending time with Him. It's growing day by day with the Lord. "But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Aren't you thankful for that promise? Philippians 4:19. If you read the rest of that chapter, the beginning of the chapter up to the verse 19, do you notice it's talking about, Paul said that whatever state I am, therewith to be content. But then he talks about giving. He talks about giving. By the way, the whole book of Philippians is about giving. Not necessarily your money, but giving yourselves to others. He said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Philippians chapter 2. "As I do for others, as I serve others, as I serve my kids." Don't we do that? We serve our kids. We serve our grandchildren. That's even funner. We had a birthday party yesterday with the grandkid. It was awesome. Best time ever. Way better than our kids' birthdays. Way better. And all my kids are in here. But what a blessing. God takes care of us. Takes care of all of our needs. As we walk with Him, as we put our trust in Him, He takes care of us. I shouldn't have shut my Bible. I want to show you. Look there in Psalm 37. Look at verse 25. We'll come back to this verse at some point. And I'm done. Psalm 37, verse 25. David says, I have been young, and now I am old. So he's looking back upon his life as he writes this particular psalm. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. David said, as I look back, I see God takes care of us. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. We have 25 goats. I love it to watch my wife go out, and we've done this several times. Now, you can shake a bucket and get those goats to go anywhere you want. A bucket of feed, just go, all of them come at the same time. It's like crack cocaine to them. It's like drugs to them. But my wife, maybe not the newer goats we have, but all the goats we've had for a while, my wife can go out there without a bucket. And she can simply say, and the lead goat is Sugar, is her name. She leads the pack. And she can simply say, Sugar, come on. And you can watch my wife lead those goats across the pasture without any incentive, without any drugs. They'll follow her. It's amazing. It's just so cool to watch. I took a video of it one time and said, look at that. They'll follow. She actually kind of did a circle, like just go out randomly and just watch them. They just follow her. I'm thankful for the great shepherd, whom if I will follow, I'll never be in want. I'll never beg for bread. I'll never beg for bread. We must follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Trust Him. A lot of anxiety in the world today. A lot of Christians living in anxiety. Can I just tell you? Put your trust in the Lord. Quit depending upon yourself. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do good. One of the ways in which to experience that joy and that contentment and peace is to do for others. You say, well, if I do for everybody else, you keep on saying that. If I do for everybody, who's going to take care of me? God said He would. Amen. You take care of your kids. You take care of your grandkids, which is awesome. You take care of your neighbor. You take care of that coworker. You take care of all the other, and God will take care of you. The world's got it backwards. They say take care of number one. You know, and then maybe look out for everybody. No. It's the opposite. Look out for others and God will take care of you. Do good. Be involved with those around you. By the way, Christian, you ought to be involved in the church. There's nothing like serving the Lord to bring contentment to one's heart, to teach or to usher or work in children's church or the nursery or soul winning or whatever it is. Get involved. Jump in somewhere and just get involved. You'd be surprised how it'll affect the adversities that are in your life. Trust in the Lord, and you'll have rest and be fed. Rest. Trust the Lord. Let's all stand.